Welcome to Women Who Sarcast. I'm Kathy Barron.
And I'm Corey Ascension.
And this is Cut to the Chase. So we're going to talk about something today, and it's about mastering the art of overthinking, because it's a true intellectual pursuit, don't you think?
So much so.
And if there weren't two intellectual people that couldn't talk about this, I mean, we're the ones to do this because we're very intellectual.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We are masters of nothing and everything.
And I have a 12-year-old mind. Every time you say master, my mind goes, I'm like, wait, every time.
Nice.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's the last time I'm saying it then. And overthinking. So we're just going to cut to the chase and talk about the definition of overthinking, which is also referred to as rumination. So overthinking is when you repetitively dwell on the same thought or situation over and over to the point that it disrupts your life. I can't relate to that at all. Overthinking usually falls into two categories: ruminating about the past and worrying about the future.
Okay.
So is it something that you can ruminate about and relate to?
Yes, no. I just never worry, ever. And I never overthink anything. And I have one thought and then it's gone.
But they're all intrusive thoughts.
Yeah, it's about, you know, Teslas or something.
Well, I think, you know, stress and anxiety are two of the most common causes of overthinking. And stress can further amplify the cycle of overthinking, as well as worrying just causes more worrying. So when your mind spirals, there's some ways to overcome that in a more sarcastic and beneficial way. And that's what we're here to teach.
Right. So take notes, pen and paper ready.
So this is like a masterclass.
Right.
You see those ads on Instagram of these actors and celebrities? I think it's called Masterclass, actually. I think that's actually the company or
whatever. Well, you can like pay for a subscription, because there was at one point where I wanted to do that, but it was not for all of them. It was something very specific. Do I remember? No. But then when I found out how much it cost, I was like, oh, never mind. I figured it out myself.
I'm sure it's like thousands of dollars. It's like, it ain't cheap, I'm sure.
Well, when it first came out, it wasn't horrible, but I just remember thinking, I don't know. Are they really masters of that? Sheffery or whatever. You know, they're like big names in it or whatever. And I'm like, are you really master? I didn't do it. But I mean, we are. So believe us. And you can Cash App and or Venmo $159.99.
Four payments of $159.
Right.
99.
Right, exactly.
For easy weekly. For easy payments.
Exactly. It's easy cuz all you do is add to cart, click checkout. Easy. Duh.
Yeah, it's easy for us to accept the money too.
Yeah.
That's the easiest part of it.
Right?
So, signs of overthinking, because who needs a carefree mind when you can have a mental circus? You know what they say, not my circus, not my monkeys. But this circus,
but
you might...
It is your circus.
Right. Like, you're the ringleader of your mind.
Right, yeah.
I think I might have to trademark that.
Ooh.
Ringleader of your mind.
of your mind or of your monkeys?
Same thing. So signs of overthinking can be supercharged forehead wrinkles.
I am offended.
Overthinkers proudly sport forehead wrinkles, and it's a sign of wisdom, or perhaps just too many unnecessary thoughts. So when you look in the mirror and you see those wrinkles, don't reach for the face cream, anti-aging, oil of Olay.
Doesn't work anyhow. I tried.
Just be proud. It doesn't work anyway.
No.
Just be proud of those wrinkles, because they are results of hard-won wisdom. Another sign is you're an insomniac achiever. I don't know if you have insomnia. I don't, actually.
But... I don't really have insomnia, but I don't sleep well. I don't know if that makes sense. Because when I think of insomnia, I think of like, I am not going to sleep. You hear people talk about, I haven't slept in, a week or whatever. But I do wake up really easily. In fact, we caught on our indoor Ring cameras last night, me getting up and ripping a new one into my 16-year-old.
Were you sleepwalking or were you awake?
No, he had woken me up, and it is a regular occurrence because my children are not soft spoken, nor do they walk softly in my house. And I had a really long kind of not rough, but a lot happened yesterday. And so I was exhausted, and he was doing something, and I kept hearing it, and I kept hearing it. Every time I did it, I thought, this will be the last time. And then, oh, nope, here it is. Okay, I'm sure he's not going to repeat that. Oh, there he fucking goes again. So anyhow, I ripped him a new one and then went back to bed. But no, so I wouldn't say I'm an insomniac, but I wake up easily. Mm-hmm. The times that I know that thoughts and overthinking interrupt my sleep tend to be right before I go to sleep. And then, like, if I wake up in the middle of the night, let's say just, we wake up to pee or whatever, sometimes it'll take me a while to go back to sleep because of my thoughts. And it's not necessarily worry. It's just, or like, oh no, what if this, or what? It's more like, I got to do this and this and this and this. Oh, that's right. And I got to do this, 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 and this. And what if this, this is overthinking part, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, all these things could possibly happen. So prep yourself. And I'll literally be telling myself, Corey, go to fucking sleep. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, go to sleep. Shut up. But it's hard. When I hear insomniac, I really think of those people that really haven't slept for days and, kind of a situation. And I haven't experienced that in that same way.
Yeah, I don't.
What about you?
I can tell when I'm stressed because I might go to sleep okay, but then I'll wake up like startled. Like my brain thinks that it's tomorrow already, and I didn't hear my alarm or something, and it's like 45 minutes later.
Right.
So that happens when I'm really stressed out, or like you know, my brain just won't shut off, and it takes me a little bit longer to sleep.
Yeah.
But with the whole menopause thing, when it first started, the menopause stuff, I would wake up like at 3:30, because before that I went to sleep fine and I slept through the night fine. And then as soon as menopause hit, it was like, well, those lovely days are over. Now it's time to party at 3 a.m.
I actually don't know if I'm in menopause or not. That sounds real. I sound like an idiot saying that. I'm assuming.
You're probably perimenopause.
It might be. I mean, I had a hysterectomy like 14 years ago. So I don't have the typical indicator of not having a monthly cycle. I have other things, but then there are times where I'm like, is that menopause? Is that old? Or is that because I haven't exercised in a long time? You know what I mean? Or did I have too much to drink? That's why I've woken up.
Am I raging because of hormonal, or am I raging because?
Well, there are times where I'm like, wait, are my emotions up and down because of perimenopause? Or wait, I feel like I've been like this my whole life. Have I been in menopause my whole life?
or at least for the 14 years, right?
Something, I don't know. Gosh.
Well,
So
another
there's
sign is
that.
like hypothetical scenarios, kind of what you were talking about. Like
Yeah.
overthinkers are experts at creating hypothetical scenarios that would make the best sci-fi writers jealous.
I am so good at that. I call myself the queen of scenario creation.
Well, yeah, it's
I'm
called
really good.
preparation, right? You gotta be prepared for every little scenario that could ever happen on planet Earth.
It's always conversations with people, though. Mine are always like, oh, yeah. And then I'm in the shower, by the way. None of this has happened. But it'll be like, and then when I go in there, if they say this to me, I am just totally going to do this. And then you know what? I bet they'll do, though. They'll do. I sound like a toddler when I say, when I'm repeating it right back right now. I feel stupid, but it's literally what I'll do. And then, by the way, none of that ever, ever happens. None of it. But I am definitely prepared just in case it does.
That's so
Everybody's
funny. I
welcome.
do the same thing in the shower, especially when I'm like pissed off at somebody at work. I'll be like, oh, yeah? Well, the next time she comes at me, this is what I'm gonna say.
That's right. Well, also, I'm not very like quick-witted. So, some of my kids got this. Like my oldest is amazingly quick-witted. Now, in my household, there's a lot of sarcasm, a little dark humor, you know, and also like verbal throat punches and things like that. All in love and good fun, guys. But I'm not good at like being like quick with a response. And some of my kids are really good at that. But so my shower scenario creations usually are me having responses to something that I didn't reply quickly with a week ago. And so now I'm like,
So
you
you're
know, if
just
that happens again,
rehashing.
yeah, I'm reenacting right now. And got her, whatever. Dumb.
As you're scrubbing your bits.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can probably relate to this one too, then. Caffeine connoisseur. So, coffee isn't just a beverage for overthinkers, it's the elixir of overthinkers. It's their elixir, it's what makes them tick. It's like a secret potion so they can unlock the mysteries of the universe.
I've never thought about it that way, but
But now that I mentioned
it
it,
would
yeah.
I would be lying if I didn't say that I feel like coffee is my life source. So, you know,
Weren't you trying to
just
get off
needed
of coffee at some point and you're doing matcha or
I
green
did.
tea or something?
I did the mushroom.
Okay.
It's called Mudwater. Oh, I tried two different brands, Mudwater and Joey. And actually I really liked it. And I didn't have any issues as far as like the caffeine withdrawal, but it was expensive. And so I said no, thank you, because it was like $50 a month. And so I just make my own.
Oh,
And I
cool.
love my coffee at home. So
Yeah.
I mean, we go out periodically. We used to go out a lot more, but I would say once a week, maybe twice a week we'll get a coffee out. But I prefer, even on those days, I prefer the coffee that I make for myself at home. But it definitely is a necessity. Yes.
It gets the
So the answer is yes. I don't
clinks out of your chain. I don't know what I just said.
something. Well, it wakes me up, and it's, you know, it's interesting. It doesn't. Well, who knows? You know, you'll hear people say, oh, if I have coffee late at night, especially women that are reaching a certain age, we don't need to name the age. They can't sleep. I don't really have that problem. Although, to be fair, I haven't tried that in a while. So maybe I do, and I just don't know it. But I used to be able to have like 5, 6 cups of coffee a day, toss in some espresso shots as well. But now I pretty much just have like a cup and a half a
Wow.
day, and that's it.
That's a big reduction.
Yeah, I pretty much, well, that's when I was doing caregiving and I needed to be, but see, coffee, at least for me, I do have a crash. So if I have too much coffee, I will have I will be soaring through, you know, the heavens, and then I am plummeting. So that's why I would drink that much, because it was just like I needed another
Right.
was a drug. It's a drug. Caffeine's a drug.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would agree. So, yes, the answer is yes.
Ching. So I don't know about this next one because apparently overthinkers have perfected the art of procrastination. Why make a decision now when you can put it off indefinitely and let it marinate in the vast expanse of your mind? But if you're procrastinating, are you constantly thinking about it? Or are you procrastinating so you don't have to think about it?
Okay, so I wanted to hear your thoughts on this first because I have some immediate thoughts about. I'm not a fan of the word procrastination with regards to the to overthinking because I don't think that's what it is.
I don't think it is either.
No, I think it's we don't necessarily, for myself, sometimes it's I don't know where to begin because there because of my ability to overthink, I have also created every possible scenario. Let's go ahead and toss in there. I'd be curious about this. We'd probably have to come back to this one at a later date, but the correlation between overthinking and ADHD. But I do think that what happens with me is I create so many scenarios, so many ideas, so many possibilities that then I don't even know where to begin. So it's not procrastination. It's literally I don't know where to start because I'm trying to overthink each possibility and I don't know which one's the best one. So I'd love to start. Oh, dear God, please, I want to start. So I wouldn't call it procrastination. It's
Right.
because I
It's
want to get it
that
over with.
analysis paralysis or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, procrastination to me means you're actually like action is involved in something that you're procrastinating about. Overthinking is you're just thinking about it. Like there's no action involved with overthinking. You're just ruminating and spiraling and overthinking situations or thoughts. So I don't think that procrastination really applies to overthinkers because I don't think that they have anything to procrastinate about necessarily because they're just thoughts are just like spinning, spinning, spinning.
There's a phrase you just used. Oh, now I can't remember
The
it.
analysis
God, this
paralysis.
analysis paralysis. Yes, that's exactly what I think it is. So I want procrastination to me seems like you're intentionally putting something off. And I feel like as an overthinker, I'm not intentionally putting it off. I don't know because of the overthinking, I don't know where to begin or go. And so it gets put off because I'm in a paralysis mode because I have overanalyzed the shit out of whatever it is.
Right, because the definition of
Yeah.
overthinking is you're ruminating about the past and worrying about the future. So that to me has nothing to do with procrastination.
Right. I agree.
The wheels on the bus are just spinning.
Correct. Round and round.
And so the last sign of overthinking could be Olympic level self-doubt. So, overthinkers excel at turning small doubts into grand
Extenuating. Oh, existential.
existential, yeah, crises. Like they don't just doubt themselves, they like question the like fiber of every of their
Absolutely.
being, basically.
Because as an overthinker, you can create some amazing ideas, but you also possess the unique and beautiful ability to create every negative aspect that could possibly enter into all of those ideas, which causes that paralysis, at least for me, is like, oh no, but if I do that, so it's almost then I've got to like, then I turn into weighing of the possibilities of terrible things could happen. Which one do I want to happen the least? Okay, so you know, not, oh, I don't like any of them. Well, that one could be bad. Oh, wait, maybe this one's worse. No, wait, hold on a second. That's what it turns into. And also, how far do I have to drive? That's going to be tossed in there.
Have to
Don't
drive?
want to go anywhere.
What's the weather going to be like?
Exactly.
Is it going to be a dry road or a wet road? Is it going to be windy?
Yep.
Is it like rush hour traffic, or is it like, although around here rush hour traffic starts at like 2 o'clock, so.
Yeah. Well, and I live in East Side San Jose area, and it pretty much is just traffic, just,
All the time.
because the day ends in a Y. So there you
Right.
go.
So the self-doubt for overthinkers, it's like it's on steroids. Like
Yeah.
it's a huge deal. They make a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, it's imposter syndrome big time for if you're a creator, especially I feel like podcast creator, whatever it is, any type of business, especially where you're putting your face out there, in social media and stuff like that. It is it I mean, big time. Imposter syndrome, and overthinking, and yeah, the what? Why can't I say the stupid word? Blah blah blah. Analysis,
Analysis, paralysis.
paralysis. There you go. Blah
Your brain's like blocking that out for some reason. It's like,
Yeah,
no, I don't
apparently
do
I don't like.
that, so don't speak it.
Yeah.
So these are actual types of overthinking. They're not made up, they're real. That overthinking or overthinkers may fit into one of these categories or types. One is all or nothing thinking. So you only see situations in black or white. Instead of looking at both the good and the bad, you might analyze an event only in terms of it being a total success or a total failure. So depending on your mood, you could see it as a negative or a positive, I guess.
I don't know if I would say that I'm that way. It really depends on what it is. I think it depends on something that maybe I have like really high hopes for, or something that I've done before successfully, but then when I repeat it and it doesn't come out as successfully, then it's very black, then it's total failure, you know? My partner is very black and some white in his thinking. Very black and white in his thinking. And I mean, he's a little better than he used to, but there are times where I'm like, so I always say that he's Eeyore. He's a pessimist because it always feels like it's, you know, it's negative. And it's not really. But there are times where I'm just like, good God. But then again, I'm the
He's a
one that,
realist,
like, if I make
okay.
Yeah, that's what he'll say. But see, things that'll make me totally be like that is are things that, to other people are silly, I'm sure. But like if I'm cooking something and something bad happens, it doesn't come out right, it burns, whatever, then to me it's all failure, it's absolute ruin. And it might be just like one portion of it burned, but I'm like, look at it, look, it's ugly. I'm ridiculous about that kind of stuff. So I mean, to be fair, I make, this is irrelevant, but I make this dessert for my partner every year. We call it Hapaini. And one year, and see, I make it and I make it well, and everybody loves it. It's really, really good. So I know that I'm good at this. It's a specific dessert. Well, one year, someone had switched or done something with this bag of sugar that I had and put MSG in it. Because sometimes we use MSG, and this recipe requires a lot of sugar. It's sweet. It's a dessert, and instead of the 2.5 cups of sugar, it was 2.5 cups of MSG,
Yikes.
which I did not know until I had served it to everybody and said, "Yummy! Isn't it so good, guys?" Oh, and by the way, I don't eat it, so I didn't taste it because it's not something I eat. Everyone was just making faces, and I'm like. So to me, so that is failure, which honestly it is fucking failure. Thank you very much. But now every time I go to make it, I overthink and panic. Also, nobody in the house lets me, lets that go. Is this MSG Hapaini, mom, or is it the But no, but there have been times where I accidentally use the wrong cheese or whatever, and then it's black and white failure. But see, again, those are weird things that maybe wouldn't bother other people, but for me, that is very black and white, and I will be very upset about it because of it being, like I said, things that I have done before and I've done well, and if it I redo it and it doesn't go as well, then to me then I start to look at it that way. But there will be times when I do that. But for the most part, I don't think I'm very black and white. What about you?
I mean, I've been accused of being black and white, black or white, because I guess as a perfectionist, sometimes it's black or white because it is either a total success or a total, like, there's no halfway. There's no 50-50. It's either it went well or it didn't. You know, if it didn't maybe reach my expectations, like you said, then it's considered a failure. But I'm also very cynical. You know, it's like you hope that this situation or this person pans out or doesn't disappoint you or whatever. And I think that's where I come in because, yeah, I don't want to get my hopes up because I have been disappointed so much in the past, you know, growing up or whatever. And so, you know, it's kind of like that. I'll believe it when I see it.
I mean, I guess I can see that. It really is circumstantial, I think, whether or not my thinking is black and white. But I can see how an overthinker would be very. I can see how that could come into play as someone for someone who is an overthinker. I don't think that's my particular thing is the black and white thing, but I can see how that would be. Like with regards to my partner, he'll say that he's not an overthinker. I'll tell you right now, that man thinks about every possible for detail for certain things that I wouldn't, that are like, I'm like, that's dumb. But to him, you know, because those are his whatever his important things. He's overthought them to death and made a determination before, you know, it's even occurred, I think, sometimes. I mean, at least in the past. I think he's better. And I think, like you'd said, it has to do with when you talk about overthinking and worry, it has to do with past experience too. I think that someone who is very black and white, like I was saying with regards to my partner or anybody else, it, you know, if your past experience, like you were just saying with other people that you're dealing with, yeah, sure, you can hope this, but the likelihood is based on experience, a big fat no. You know, this is, you know, my hope's going to be shot to pieces, kind of a thing.
Yeah, especially
So,
if
and
it's the
I
same
understand that
person. Yeah,
thinking.
yeah.
Yeah.
So the next type is catastrophizing.
Oh.
And this type of overthinking involves thinking things are worse than they are. This is kind of where I think intrusive thoughts may come in.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's at what point you've spiraled out. I think I can get to catastrophe. Even black and white, I can get there, but I have to be spiraling out, you know, which sounds really terrible. Hi, I'm a coach that teaches you how not to do these things. Let me talk to you about my spiraling out. No, but I can see how I could get there. You know what I mean? Depending upon the situation where it's going. It, like when we were trying to find a freaking place to move into this, you know, last summer. I was starting to spiral out because I thought, you know, we're going to be, you know, because we've been homeless before. So, you know, past experience. And so I thought, oh, fuck, you know, we're going to have to do this again. We're going to be living out of this damn car. And now my kids are 10 years older. So they're not kids anymore. They're adults. And what are we going to do? And we're, you know, so I could, that it was catastrophe. It was black and white. And I was spiraling out. But I don't always spiral out in my overthinking thoroughly. And overthinking isn't, my overthinking isn't always negative either. I mean, does that make sense to you?
Well, I think overthinking for this type, it kind of sets you up to worry about unrealistic worst case scenarios. So, like, if you like have to, we'll just use like if you went to school, then you know you're afraid that you're going to fail the test, and then oh my God, if you fail the exam, then it's going to lead to you failing the class, and then you're not going to graduate, and then you're not going to get your degree, and then you're not going to be able to find a job, you know. So it kind of like domino effect of one thing is definitely going to lead to the next and the next and the next and the next. So it's like you're worrying about a scenario that hasn't happened and may not happen. So it's like getting ahead of yourself and not being like in the present moment. Because why worry about something that hasn't happened and may not happen? But that's where the overthinking comes in.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's what worry and overthinking really is things that haven't occurred anyhow, yet. You know, how many types did they say of different categories did they put?
Three, and overgeneralizing is the last one. So this form of overthinking happens when you base a rule or expectation for the future on a single or random event from the past.
Okay.
So instead of accepting that different outcomes are possible, you might assume that certain things will always or never happen.
Yeah.
So
I call Aaron always and never. So that's funny. He says it's always, always, and it's never, and it's always never. So, but now, so it's interesting. I'm hearing these three and I'm thinking about how to apply it to me or whatever. And I'm like, I feel like maybe I'm a little bit of all of them at some point in time, but never one. It bounces, which this is the circus. So I guess this is part of the circus. I'm just bobbing and weaving through each of them or something. I don't know. But it's like I said, the catastrophe, whatever the word was.
Catastrophizing.
You know what I mean. It's kind of catastrophizing. Yeah. That only happens when I spiral out. And I don't always spiral out. But there are times where, you know, especially when shit's hitting the fan for a really long time, you're going to spiral out, you know.
Right.
So, well, us overthinkers are. What about yourself? What do you think about that? Where do you put yourself in those categories?
I'm probably like the all or nothing thinking mixed in with the overgeneralization.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I'm a catastrophizer because I don't.
I can't say the word, so I don't think I am.
I don't think like, oh my God, if I don't do this and this is going to happen. I don't know that I do that. Because for me, I really try hard to like be in the present moment and not think about the past or the future. I'm not successful all the time. But I think I'm successful enough that I don't catastrophize. And I always try to not say always or never. But sometimes that doesn't necessarily work, especially like in work situations, because most of the time it's true. So
I did find that people that do always and never don't like it when you say things like, well, not always, because then they're like, yeah, always. And I'm like, no, literally 30 seconds ago, that's not what happened. So it's definitely not always.
Right.
Just an FYI, if you're arguing with someone who's an overthinker and they're an always and never-er, they don't really care for that. One thing I did read that I thought was interesting was a study done. It was reported in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, and they actually studied, it was data from more than, data or data, whatever you say, from more than 45,000 studies. I think that's a pretty decent amount. That women's brains are significantly more active than men's. And that because what they have found is that women tend to overthink more than men. But what the part of the reason that is because our brains are significantly more active than theirs. Now, we probably have to delve into the study more, so I'm not going to do that. But I did find that was interesting. The study found that the brains of women were especially more active in the frontal cortex, which is involved with focus and impulse control, as well as the limbic emotional areas of the brain, which are linked to mood and anxiety. They said because of this also, women's brains being so much more active, it is more common that we overthink, more common that we worry because there's so much activity going on, which also then leads to an increase, which is many studies have been done about this. I don't know if we've talked about this on this podcast before, but women, more women are diagnosed with anxiety and depression than men are. And part of that has to do with the fact that our brains are more active. So there's some science behind it all, guys. You're welcome. That was my super, well, at the beginning, we said we were highly intelligent or whatever the
That's
word was you
right.
used.
I don't know if I
There
said
you go.
highly, but I did say we were intellectual.
I was overthinking that part. So definitely.
I find that interesting because aren't women always the one that's preparing for things? Like preparing for scenarios or for future things that might happen or.
Well, I think especially as women, especially if you're a woman that has a family, a partner, a household that you're running in addition to whatever, work things like that, you're doing a lot of the unseen, unheard work. And so it for me, it's necessary because if we're, let's say if we're going on a trip. Yeah, by trip, by the way, I mean camping. So don't get excited. We're going somewhere. Well, I've got to think about, okay, what does this person, this person, this person need? Yeah, sure. I told them pack their bags, but this is what I know is going to happen because it's happened a million times. Okay, I've got to make sure we've got the coffee and the coffee pot and all these little things. Okay, and if it rains, I got to make sure we've got this because what's going to happen is if it rains, everyone's going to go, "Mom, it's raining and we don't know what to do with ourselves." So here we go. I have everything prepared right here for you. Like I've got, Ziploc bags and that, I've got all of these. I'm thinking about all of these things, possible things that could happen because has been there, done that, so the past is kind of creating this little map for my future. And then, also other things. I've got two children that have type 1 diabetes, so I gotta make sure everything's taken care of for them. So there's a lot of that though that goes on unseen because it's going on inside of our brains. And we don't talk to anybody else about it because also trying to talk to them and explain it to them takes a 50 bajillion times longer than just doing it on our own damn selves. So, but I do think that women, whether it be in the workplace or in the home, tend to have a lot more unseen, unheard work that we do. And a lot of it has it goes on inside of our brains in preparation for something,
And I
whatever.
feel like the
And
guys kind of just go with the flow and wing it, and oh, it'll work itself out, and we don't need to prepare for it. At least that's my perception. I could be totally wrong, and I'm sure someone will tell me I am, but that's just how I feel it works. I mean, even growing up, my mom was the one that packed the car when we went on trips. My dad had these paper maps, and he like highlighted and red penned and, did his thing about the maps and the route we were going to take. But my mom was the one that packed things and packed the car and, made sure we had everything.
the map thing, I still do that. Now, there is an aspect of that that has to do with me liking being in control. I was talking to one of my kids about this the other day too, that the overthinking this comes into play, I think, is that it's not that I want to be in control of everybody else. It's that I want to be in control of what happens to me, which just the thing is the end result is it feels controlling of other people. And a lot of that just has to do with past experience, trauma, whatever it is. I want to feel safe. And so this is what I know to do to feel safe. And safe doesn't mean necessarily actual physical harm, but safe could just be arriving at the campsite, because that's the example I used a second ago, on time and not having any worries when we pull everything out, because otherwise it's going to get fucking nutty. And I don't, and the fucking nutty is the unsafe part. So if I do all of this, then I know that I'm going to be okay. Bonus, so are all of you. But
They benefit from your
that
anxiety and your overthinking and your
exactly. You're
worrying.
welcome. Yeah. Don't talk shit about me.
That's right.
They definitely do. No, yeah, I think as women that we are, is it the patriarchy? Yeah, it fucking is. That we're, that we're in this position in a sense. And I think there are steps and there are plenty of things that we can be doing within our own little minds to help navigate out of that. But fact of the matter is as women, I think that we are definitely in these positions because that's where society has placed us, generationally. I mean, it's been like that. We're moving forward, but it's still a fucking thing.
There are delightful effects of overthinking, and then there's like the real effects of overthinking. So the delightful and sarcastic effects of overthinking is that you have enhanced psychic abilities. Overthinkers develop an uncanny ability to predict catastrophes that will never happen. So be proud of that.
Yeah, I could be, and I mean, I can make a great movie too. So
That's right.
good storyline. Write a novel.
Another thing that overthinkers are pros at, and it's not just the Russians, it's the mental gymnastics mastery. Like, they're so skilled at jumping to conclusions that it's like mind mental gymnastics.
Oh yeah. I yeah, we yes. Agree. The answer is yes. Ding.
Mind reading skills. Overthinkers become
Yeah.
adept at reading minds, especially when those minds are completely unrelated to them. So, they might interpret the thoughts of strangers, fictional characters, and even inanimate objects.
I agree, but I also think that has to do with past experience.
Yeah. Well, these are like
But
your
yeah,
shower scenario situations.
absolutely.
But it's almost like when you create those situations, like in the shower sessions, it's like you have to like, it's like you're getting rid of that energy that's being like cooped up. Like that's how I feel when I
Yeah.
do those. Like I, it's like talking out loud.
Yeah, because the thing is 9 times out of 10, whatever you're doing in the shower, the scenario you've created, it doesn't happen. But also for me, I don't, if it did, I probably won't remember what I was saying in the shower.
Right.
So it's, I'll probably get back in the shower and be like, fuck, oh, it is, it's a release of some sorts,
Yeah.
a vent session. I don't like to vent. I personally don't really care to vent to many people. And so it's like venting to myself. It's perfect because no, first of all, no one's going to use it against me because what am I going to do? Use it against myself? Whatever. Your hair's washed at the same time. Cool.
That's right.
Two birds, one stone.
And journaling can also help with that too, when you're overthinking about something, like writing it down and just like offloading it onto a piece of paper, for me, gets it out of my head. And
Yeah.
it may not mean that I t don't that I'll stop thinking about it, but that stops the spiraling for me. It's like, okay, we're gonna write it down. We're just gonna like write as many pages as you need to get whatever this is, and then be done with it.
No, I like that. I think for me, sometimes journaling, it's like I go through periods where with journaling, I will actually record myself on my phone. And sometimes for me, it's better to, it's like I need to hear me. Because sometimes when we get caught up on the thoughts in our head, when they come out of our mouth, they sound a little bit different. And so hearing me, seeing me, I can go, oh, no, wait a second. I can actually, it's a little bit better that way. With the journaling, that does work for me sometimes. Just really depends where I'm at because sometimes I'm bouncing all over the place. I mean, mentally, the gymnastics. And so it just really depends what I can tell is going to work in that moment. The other thing for me that really works though is as long as I haven't spiraled out, is asking myself, how much of this is true? How much of this do you know for a fact is true? Not assumption, not previous experience. How much of this is true? But because I recognize that a lot of times my overthinking has to do with protection of self, it's self-preservation or family, whatever. It's preservation, safety, security. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be upset. And so I have to ask myself, how much of this scenario that you've created is factual? If I'm really seeing that the spiraling, that I'm heading towards a spiral out and it's going to create an issue, I'm
Right.
not just talking about the guy with the stupid, whatever, the grocery guy in his dumb bag or something like that. I mean real serious situations,
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about this, you know, about the anxiety and, you know, another delightful effect of overthinking is supercharged anxiety. So it's like, who needs regular anxiety when you can like supersize it, you know?
Yes, the
Supersize
best way to
it
stay up at night.
and like reach levels and heights that you thought were unattainable. It's like,
Yeah.
you know, the
You thought
panic.
Candy Crush was a rush. Just
That's
wait.
right. So, I mean, there are some ways that you can not overthink. So, embrace ignorance. Adopt a blissful ignorance is bliss philosophy. Another one is, well, this is procrastination, but why overthink when you can just delay all decision making? But then we decided that procrastination really isn't part of overthinking.
No, I don't think it is.
Another way to not overthink is ignore consequences. So you can pretend consequences are mythical characters like unicorns or responsible adult decisions.
I suck at ignoring. That's the part. Can you do the ignoring thing?
Think it depends, but probably not.
Like maybe with people sometimes, like if I'm dealing with someone very like not a scenario of someone, I might be able to ignore then because I could be like, okay, you're outside your gourd, and then I'll go, you know, home and overthink. But otherwise, ignoring can be a little bit difficult sometimes for me when you're talking about thoughts.
Like if I like journal, and it's not that I'm ignoring, I'm just kind of letting it go, not trying to control the consequences or the outcomes or, you know, how it's gonna end, because I don't really have any control over it.
Oh,
Like
that's a good
I
one.
certainly don't have control over how someone's gonna react, although sometimes I wish I did, because then people wouldn't react.
We'd have everybody in line like that.
So, and then the other two obvious are mindfulness meditation, where you just ignore the fact that your mind is as calm as a caffeinated squirrel in a disco and just not think and be one Obi-Wan Kenobi. And
Which is
then
difficult.
it is difficult.
Yeah.
And then positive affirmations, you know, like I'm a chill cucumber.
I like saying like, you know, I'm a badass motherfucker who don't take no shit from nobody. Does that work?
As long as you start it with I am, then you're good
Okay.
to
I say that, but then there are times where I'm like, fuck, am I imposter syndrome? Am I really? Oh no. What if?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a badass in the shower.
See? That's all that
Fuck yeah.
matters. You'll show that bar of soap.
That's right.
So embrace the chaos and keep pondering unnecessarily, because whether we like it or not, we're gonna overthink. But try to not overthink so much. And when you spiral, when you start spinning or spiral, just think of that image of, you know, kids on that wheel, that metal wheel that we used to spin around and
Vomit on.
hang off of. And it's not a Ferris wheel, it's one that was in like in the playground.
Yeah, the ones we used to vomit off
You used
of.
to vomit off of
We'd lay
those?
down on it. When you lay
All
down,
right.
we would lay down on it and
And
someone
you would
would run and
vomit.
spin. And
Oh my God.
yeah, I hated those.
I love those because I never vomited.
To be fair, I don't know if I vomited. Definitely nauseous. Other kids vomited, but I did not care for those very much. So. Wasn't good on that
Well,
one.
think of something else then. Like a sit and
I don't
spin.
know. Oh, sit and spins are fun.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see you next time on Women Who Sarcast. Thank you for listening to Women Who Sarcast, an independent podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Women Who Sarcast. If you like this podcast so much you're thinking of launching your own show, pick up the latest issue of Women Who Podcast Magazine and learn all about podcasting. Visit womenwhopodcastmag.com and follow us at Women Who Podcast Magazine. Show music provided by Mike Bassiani.